1. The name of the message is The Supremacy of Christ. The Supremacy of Christ, Hebrews chapter 1. I had Brother Tim read the first 11 verses for us to get the context of our verses today. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So let's read these three verses again. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory, in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, I pray today that the Holy Spirit will illuminate these Scriptures for us, for we who are the people of God, and give us a great comfort, a great comfort. And we will see clearly as the Lord illuminates the Scriptures and teaches us the things of Christ, the supremacy of Christ over all things. And I pray if you do not know Christ, that the Holy Spirit would illuminate you, that illuminate the Scriptures for you, and that you'd be born again, and that you would see with the same eyes that we have, who have been granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the absolute supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is supreme. He is supreme. Now, the book of Hebrews is written to believers, and we will see that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that the author of this wonderful book will, from the very beginning, contrast Christ with the prophets and with every element of the Old Covenant. If you read the book of Hebrews, it's a total contrast between Christ and the Old Covenant. And Christ is set forth exceeding all the best of God's creatures. He is set forth exceeding all the best of God's creatures and exceeding the capabilities of the law as it refers to the priesthood, as well as the various sacrifices, rites, and ceremonies. Note in these first two verses that our great King is declared in two supreme capacities. He is first declared to be the supreme prophet. Look at this. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. By this statement, He's declared to be the supreme prophet. The supreme prophet. And then we see Christ as the Son of God. He's not only the messenger of the covenant, of the new covenant, beloved, He's the message. He's the message. Look, it says here, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we see, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. He's not only the messenger. He's the message. And He is the supreme prophet. He's the very one whom all the prophets spoke of. Who all the prophets spoke of. And Christ is set forth as exceeding, again, all the best of God's creatures. Exceeding all the sacrifices. Exceeding all the priesthood. First, let us consider our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the supreme prophet. And we see the writer, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, contrasts Christ with the Old Testament prophets. And remember, in no way is He diminishing the Old Testament prophets. In no way is He doing that. No way is He doing that at all. He's not diminishing what they said. He's not diminishing who they are. But He's bringing forth that they all spoke of Christ. They all spoke of Christ. Just as our Master proclaimed. What did our Master proclaim in John? He said, "Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them that you think you have eternal life, and they are they which" what? "Testify of Me." The Scriptures testify of Christ. They testify of Christ. So again, He's the message. He's the messenger, and He's the message. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And you see the Scriptures testify of Christ, the great prophet. All the Old Testament prophets were typical of He who would fulfill and complete their offices. We know that our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that He's prophet, priest, and king, isn't He? He's prophet, priest, and king. He fulfills all the offices. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. "I will raise them up," a what? A prophet, capital P, a prophet. The very one spoken of in Hebrews. A prophet. "From among their brethren, He's bone of our bone, and He's flesh of our flesh, beloved." He's fully God, and yet He's fully man. "Like unto thee, and I will put My words in His mouth." He came to do the will of the Father, didn't He? He testified of the Father. "And He shall speak unto them all that I shall command Him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto My words, which he will speak in My name, I will require it of him." Look at that. Look at those words. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto My words, which he shall speak in My name, who will not hearken to the Lord, I will require it of him." Sister Kathy sang at the great atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will not require of us for our sins. Because we've heard, we who are God's people, we've heard the voice of the shepherd, haven't we? We've been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been granted repentance before God, and we by God's power fled to Christ. And we hear the words now, don't we? We understand the words. Only by God's grace. Remember that. The only thing that makes us to differ from anyone else in this world is the grace of God in Christ. And what does the believer say? Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Praise His mighty name. Oh my. And then listen to the words of those who were among the 5,000 who were fed. When our Lord had manifested His power in feeding the great multitude with only 5 loaves and fishes, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth, that prophet," the one spoken of what we just read in Deuteronomy, that prophet. Singular, that prophet. That should come into the world, John 6:14. Now turn to Acts chapter 3, if you would. Acts chapter 3. Look at this. And remember the words. I'm going to read the words of Deuteronomy again to us. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put My words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto My words, which he shall speak in My name, I will require it of him." Now look in Acts here, chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and all those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." They spoke of Christ, beloved. They spoke of Christ. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Well, look at that. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, Christ, shall be destroyed from among the people. Our Lord, beloved, our Lord is that prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy. Our Lord is that prophet spoken of here in Acts chapter 3. He is the great prophet proclaimed in the Old Testament, and it is He who declares the Father. It is He who declares the Father. In Matthew, the Scriptures say this, in Matthew 11, 25 to 27, the Scriptures declare this. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. See, the gospel must be revealed. Christ must be revealed to us. The Scripture says, there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understandeth. There's none good, no, not one. That's the natural state of man. And He must draw us to Christ. We must be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And God must reveal Christ to us, or we'll never know Him. Because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, why? Why did He do this? Oh, I love this. For it seemed good in Thy sight. Think of this. Think of this. Think of you who are saved. You who are redeemed. Out of all the people in the world, it pleased the Father to reveal Christ to you. Oh, my. Oh, my. By His grace and by His mercy, because it pleased Him to do so. We have obtained mercy, beloved. We have obtained mercy. Mercy from our great God. Even so, for it seemed good in thy sight, and all things are delivered unto me of my Father. That's Christ. He has all power. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Lord Jesus Christ must reveal God to us, and He is God incarnate in the flesh. He must reveal the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to us. Oh, we'll never know. And when He does, we spend the rest of our lives praising and worshiping our great God for doing that for us, don't we? Because He reveals to us what He did for us at Calvary's cross. And how He died for our sins. And the saints in glory are right now praising our great God. Right now. Saying, worthy is the Lamb. Brother Rupert Reibenbach went home to be with the Lord last week. And all the texts from the different preachers, we were all saying he's now seeing face to face the very one he preached and proclaimed, singing with the blood-washed saints. And remember, that's all the saints. Saints who you and I have known who went forth before us. And they are all singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. They're giving God all the glory. And one day, we who are redeemed will be right there with them. By God's grace and by God's mercy. What a day that'll be. Oh, what a day that'll be. Let's go back to our text again. Let's read our text again here. Never lose sight, beloved, that our Lord is the royal mediator. He's the one mediator between God and man. There's no other mediator between God and man. He's the royal mediator. He's sent by God to be the mediator between God and His people. He's sent by the Father. He's a servant. He's a messenger of the covenant. He's a messenger. And He's a messenger of the Father, isn't He? He's sent by the Father. He's a messenger of the Father. And He's sent. Remember why He's sent here? He's sent to die for us. He's sent to die in our place. He was born to die. He was born to die. Then He was born to be raised again too, wasn't He? Oh my. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, He's sovereign. When He had by Himself, purged our sins, by Himself, He did it all. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The work's finished. Sometimes, here's a good illustration of how our great God was King in glory and how He was King on earth and how He's King now in glory. Here's a good illustration. Sometimes, there were more kings than one at Sparta who governed by joint authority. A king was occasionally sent to some neighboring state in the character of a Spartan ambassador. So there'd be multiple kings and one would be sent to be an ambassador. Did he, when so sent, cease to be a king of Sparta? No, he was still a king, wasn't he? Even though he was an ambassador, he was still a king. No, he did not divest himself of his royal dignity, but only added to it by that of public deputation. So Christ, in becoming man, did not cease to be God. He didn't cease to be God. He's still God. But though he ever was and still continued to be king of the whole creation and acted as a voluntary servant and messenger of the Father, He was king in eternity. He was born king. And He's king right now. He's the God-man mediator and He never ceased to be God. That's our Savior. That's our Savior, beloved. Now, with that in our minds, let's look again at verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So Christ alone, we see in these verses, is the singular prophet of the new covenant. The prophets that operated under the old covenant are all subject to He who is the prophet. The prophet. The one spoken of over in Deuteronomy that we looked at. In these last days here signify the end of the first covenant and the establishment of the second. They do not signify the end of the Old Testament, but rather the unveiling of it. The unveiling of it. The declaration of what it testified to. Who did it testify of? The Lord Jesus Christ. It testified of Christ. It, in Hebrews here, proclaims the superiority and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophets were messengers of God in the Old Testament, and they typified the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the prophet. The prophet of the new covenant, who was promised when? In the last book of the Old Testament. And was promised in Deuteronomy, we saw there. He's promised. Listen to Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, and Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger. That's Christ. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger. And we know when God says He's going to do something, He does it. Behold, I will send my messenger, and He shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That's Christ. He's the messenger of the covenant. That's what He is. Whom you delight in. Behold, He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, those verses actually, turn if you would to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. We'll see here. This verse here speaks of two messengers. It says, behold, I will send my messenger. That's actually John the Baptist. The first one is John the Baptist. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And He shall prepare the way before me. And then we see the next one called the messenger of the covenant. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. So the first messenger is John, John the Baptist. But the second messenger, the one called the messenger of the covenant, is the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. I love what one grace preacher said of John the Baptist. He said he was the last Old Testament prophet and the first New Testament gospel preacher. John the Baptist. He proclaimed Christ. He proclaimed Christ. He prophesied of Christ. He was a messenger of both the Old and the New Covenants and Testaments. We see in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, that the second messenger again is called the messenger of the covenant. Now, let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 1. The messenger of the covenant. And it says there that the Lord's people will delight in them. Who do we delight in? Who's the only one who's a delight to our souls? The Lord Jesus Christ. We delight in Him as God's people, don't we? Look at this. And again in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, the messenger of the covenant. That's Christ. Right? Whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, remember He's God. He never ceases to be God, beloved. He's God, incarnate in the flesh. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. This speaks of His deity, doesn't it? When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Remember earlier in the message I said Christ is not only the messenger of the new covenant, but He's the message. Take note of the words in verse 2. Spoken unto us by His Son. Our Lord is the messenger of the new covenant. And He's also the message of mercy and salvation for sinners. Salvation is only through Him. No other way. No other way. The Scriptures proclaim that He is the life. He is the Word of life. There's a singular message proclaimed by gospel preachers. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. There's a singular message of salvation only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed by gospel preachers. 1 John chapter 1. Look at this. Verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now remember John the Apostle's writing this. He was an ear witness. And he was an eyewitness to Christ. He saw Him, he heard Him, and he laid his head upon his breast. So the one who's writing these words, and he's writing this of the apostles, that which was from the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? John chapter 1. Which we have heard, he heard Him. He heard Him like we talk to each other. He heard Him. Which we have seen with our eyes. He saw Him just like we see one another. Now we look and see Him by faith, don't we? And we hear Him, His voice through the preaching of the Word. Oh, we hear the shepherd's voice through the preaching of the Word. But look, they actually saw Him and heard. Which we have looked upon, they looked upon like we look upon one another. And our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested. God became a man. God became a man. And we have seen it. And they bear witness. Look at it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. Who's eternal life in? Christ and Christ alone, beloved. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The only way that our joy is full is through a union with Christ, isn't it? We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We're granted faith and repentance. Faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance before God. And we never stop coming. Brother Henry Mahan used to say, we don't just come once, we just keep coming. We just keep coming to Him, don't we? Continuously. What a Savior, beloved. And this is the single message of a gospel preacher. Salvation is only through and in Christ alone. Everything that's done in the church is to flow around Christ. He is the method. The method of what goes on in here must agree with the music and must agree with the message. Brother Rupert Reidenbach used to say that. The method must agree with the music and must agree with the message. They all are in harmony to exalt Christ in Christ alone. And that's why we come here, to hear the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the furtherance of the gospel. That's why we gather together. He is the one who we come here to worship. And He is the one who we who are born again, He's the one we adore. He's the one we adore. He's the one we long to hear about. And He is the only one who can give us comfort. And what does the Scripture say? Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. How does a preacher, how do I find comfort as a preacher? From the Scriptures? The same way you, through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of God's free grace and salvation in Him alone, and hearing exactly what He's done for me, and that I am absolutely, and if you're a believer, you're absolutely complete in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It fills your heart with joy, doesn't it? Jesus did it all. Let us always remember that. He did it all. He did it all. Listen to the words in Isaiah. It says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. How's our warfare accomplished? In Christ. He paid it all. He paid everything that God demanded for our sins. Listen to this too. And that her iniquity is pardoned. As far as the east is from the west, the Lord will not remember our sins. They're covered under the precious blood of Christ. So the Scripture says to the believer, and this is how we find comfort, your iniquity is pardoned. Your warfare is accomplished. Lay down your arms. Lay down your arms before God. For she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And this speaks of the preaching of God's free grace. The preaching of God's free grace towards sinners in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the gospel is proclaimed, it proclaims a finished salvation, a complete atonement that's being completed by Christ and Him alone. By Himself, the Scripture says in what we've read today. He purged our sins by Himself. By Himself. Glory be to God. Christ did that. For me, the believer says. Oh my. What a Savior. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. By the shedding of His blood, the Lord Jesus Christ has appeased the wrath of God, the justice of God that was against we who are His people for our sins. And the work that He accomplished is a finished work, beloved. It's a finished work. Look at this. Hath in these last days, verse 2, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You've heard that the priests in the Old Testament, they never sat and rested. There was no chair in the Holy of Holies. because they were always ever about doing work. Christ finished the work and then He sat down. It's finished. It's complete. And God's people, now just let this sink in, because I marvel at it all the time and I know you do too. God's people are totally forgiven. God's people are totally reconciled to God. And God's people are complete. Complete means complete. There's nothing to add to it. They are complete in Christ. In Christ. All in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He by Himself purged our sins, beloved. He willingly died in our place. My, what a Savior. Marvel at this love. Marvel at the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has made complete satisfaction for the sins of His people. And all the punishment that was due us fell upon Him. When Christ died in our room and place as the great substitute, and when He cried, "It is finished," it's finished. That's good news for sinners. And so all who look to Him, all who look to Him are saved. May God give you eyes to see Him if you do not know Him. May He give you eyes to look to Him. May the Holy Spirit stir you and regenerate you so that you be given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what He did for all we poor sinners who are saved. We can't claim any merit. We have no merit at all. It's all by God's grace, isn't it? It's all by God's grace and mercy. And He by Himself purged our sins. Let's look at our text again. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We see in verse 2, by whom also He made the worlds. Then in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Beloved, Paul wrote of this very truth. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1 and I'll read Ephesians chapter 3, 9. Paul wrote of this very truth in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 9. He said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is clearly stated that our Lord created all things. Look at this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven. And all there means all. No matter what people say out there in the world. The Scripture says that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. All things. And we know that He upholds all things by the word of His power, doesn't He? Look at this. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Everything. Again, it don't matter what people say. They're just popping off in their ignorance. I used to do it too. By Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. So that means they're all subject to Him. Everything. Satan, the angels, everything visible and invisible, all the worlds, do you know what? There is not one maverick molecule in this whole universe, there's not one. Not one! It's all controlled by God. All of it. Everything. And look at this. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The breath we breathe comes from our King. By Him, by our great God, all things consist. Now, that's our Savior. Oh, does that bring you comfort? It brings me a lot of comfort. That's my Savior. And not only has He saved me, but He's going to keep me. And one day He's going to present me, along with every single one of His blood-bought saints, before the Father's throne, faultless, with exceeding joy. Isn't that wonderful? Oh. So we see clearly then in these verses, the deity of Christ is proclaimed in these verses. Now let us look at He who is the message of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. The complete fulfillment of all prophecies. All types and shadows and pictures are found, all find their completeness in Him. He's the God-man mediator. He's the messenger of the covenant, and He is the message of the gospel. Let's read our text again. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, this again speaks of His deity, when He had by Himself purged our sins, that speaks of His humanity, right? He speaks of His humanity. He died as our substitute. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Sat down. Notice 6 points that are set before us in this wonderful text. The Lord Jesus Christ, the first point of this outline is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the sole proprietor and possessor of the universe. Everything is subject to Him. Everything. In these last days, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Everything is subject to Him. Whether people believe it or not, everything is subject to our great God and King. Everything. Everything. The one who has saved us, the one who has kept us, is the very one who has all power. The very one, when you look and you see a sunbeam come in, you see all that dust floating in the air, is the very one who's ordained every single piece of that dust that's floating in that. That's our Savior. That's our King. All things are being given to the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That's our Savior. He created all things, all for His glory. And think of this in light of His redemptive work. Oh, how it brings glory to our great King, doesn't He? That He saved us. Oh, how it brings great, great glory to our God. That He in His mercy and grace chose to save us. This universe, this planet, this world is a stage upon which Christ exhibits why it was created in the first place. And we can see divine intent, can't we? The Lord Jesus Christ was appointed heir of all things. And He is the Word of God incarnate. And He created it all. And as our dear brother Isaiah said, He knows the end from the beginning. The reason He knows the end from the beginning is because He created it all, beloved. He created it all. And the language of God in the Scriptures declares that the world was created by Christ and for Him to manifest His glory. And we see in another point is God the Father's proclamation that His Son is God. Look at this. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person in verse 3. Now, what assurance the believer in Christ can glean here? That our Savior is God. He's God. And it is He who spoke the worlds and galaxies into existence. Everything we see, visible and invisible, principalities and powers, all the rulers of the darkness of this world are all under His sovereign rule. Whether they believe it or not, everything is under His sovereign will. Listen to this comment by a grace preacher. This declaration is assurance that Christ was not merely an agent of creation, but the very power and deity that accomplished it. When it says, who being the brightness of His glory in verse 3 and the express image of His person. It's a declaration of who our great Savior is. He's God. He's God. And we know that when our Lord was on this earth, that His divinity was on full display, wasn't it? It was on full display. He calmed the seas with a word. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind and opened the deaf's ears. He made a leper clean all by His sovereign will. And He came into this world and died in the place of His people, willingly paying all that the holy law and justice of God demanded for us by the one-time sacrifice of Himself. And the fourth point clearly brought out in our text is a declaration of the sovereignty of God's Son. Look at this in verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. What a declaration. What a declaration. And this is just the start of the letter. What a declaration. Take note of the small word in verse the small word and in verse 3. This brings forth a divine distinction. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Again, little doors or big doors swing on little hinges, don't they? They sure do. All that has been said before verse 3 and this verse as well are all connected, and they all proclaim the messenger of the covenant. The message of the gospel cannot be separated from the messenger of the covenant. They are interdependent upon one another. Christ is the messenger of the covenant, and He's the message of the covenant. The message of the gospel. Who our Lord is in verse 2 and the first part of verse 3 cannot be separated from what He has accomplished. And they're united with the word and. And, look at this. Who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. He did it all. They're interconnected, aren't they? His work is brought forth. Oh my. The next point is that God declares that Christ, His Son, is the one who has purged the sins of His people. How? By the sacrifice of Himself. Who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, by Himself, by Himself, by Himself. He did it all. Purge us, and He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. We see here that there's no cooperation from man, don't we? There's no cooperation from the elect. I'm not going to say anything else. We'll just let that sink in. No cooperation from man. Right? He's done this work. He's done this magnificent work of redemption by Himself. And it's finished. We just look to Him. And even looking to Him, we're given eyes to look to Him. Isn't it wonderful? The work's finished. And He did it by Himself. No cooperation from man. By Himself. The great God-man. So marvel at these words, you who are the redeemed of the Lord. When He had, by Himself, purged our sins. Sat down in the right hand of the Majesty on high. What a message. Christ is the sole owner of the redemption of His people. He's the sole owner of the redemption of His people. He did it all alone. And He did it completely. It's a finished work. It's completed by the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the message of the gospel. And look at the word. Look at these words. He did it by Himself. He purged our sins. This speaks of the purging of God's people's sins by Christ as a fact, doesn't it? Doesn't it speak of it as a fact? It does, doesn't it? Look at that. When He had by Himself purged our sins, it's a fact. He did it. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. This took place at Calvary, didn't it? This took place at Calvary. When Christ, the mighty Savior of God's people, bled and died in the room of His people as the great substitute. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9, and then we'll look at chapter 10, and then we'll be finished. This work is finished. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Look at this. Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by His own blood He entered in once, by Himself, right? Into the holy place, having what? Obtained eternal redemption for us. He did it. By Himself. It says even there. But by His own blood, He entered in once, into the holy place, having obtained. He obtained it. It's a fact. He obtained eternal redemption for His people. And then look at verse 26, same chapter. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to what? Put away sin. Put it away. How? By the sacrifice of Himself. That's wonderful. What a message. What a Savior we have. What a salvation. He put away our sins by the sacrifice of Himself. And this work is finished, beloved. Our great God is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's in repose. The work's done. Completed. And our great Savior is glorified, risen, and exalted. And this is wonderful news for the people of God. Because where the head is, the body soon falls, right? Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 10, and we'll close with these words. Look at this. By Himself, He purged our sins. Right? By the sacrifice of Himself, by the shedding of His precious blood, to appease the wrath and justice of God in the place of God's people. Look at these wonderful words. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 to 17. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all of God's people. And every priest standeth daily ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. So all those Old Testament sacrifices, they couldn't take away sin, but they were pointing to the one who take away the sins of His people. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, that's Himself, right? He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. My goodness. It just gets better though. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and oh, praise God, look at verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. All we can say is amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank Thee for Thy Word and how it comforts Your people. What a Savior we have, Lord. What a Savior You are. You who were King in glory in eternity were born King to die in the room and place of Your people. Oh, what salvation this is. And now You are seated on the right hand of the Majesty on High, King, ruling and reigning over all things visible and invisible. And Lord, we know that one day we who are Your people, we who are purchased by Thy precious blood, we who have been shown mercy, will one day see Thee face to face. What a day that'll be, Lord. Oh, what a day that'll be. Lord, we pray, oh, that You draw on Your lost sheep. Oh, that You give them eyes to look to You, just like You've given we who are Your born-again people. You've given us eyes to see Thee, O Lord. Oh, we pray for Your lost sheep. We know that You gather them in. We know that You won't lose one of them. And we sing glory to Your name, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.